Okay, so again, Pei Dalet and Aleph. We're just going to review from yesterday a little bit, and then we have a few points to add. So we were saying the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva Eiger and Rashi was that Rabbi Akiva Eiger was learning that the that Eidus Shi'at Yachal, if you can't be mazim the Eidim, so he was learning that there's like an intrinsic psul in the Eidus. The Eidus is basically doesn't have credibility. And it falls apart on its own. It's not trustworthy. What grants Eidus, what makes Eidim trustworthy and gives nemunas to intrinsic nemunas to the Eidus is the fact that there will be consequences if they're caught lying. And therefore, his question is the fact that a treifa, Eidim who testify that treifa killed somebody, the fact that that Eidus is no good, and the treifa is pater. From Misa, right? We don't kill him for being a Rotzeach. He's saying the reason is because you simply lack Eidus entirely. So how could the Gemara bring that as a raya that sometimes you just can't do Mishpat, even though in theory you should, but there's sometimes it's Yashar. The Treifa is not a good example of that because the Treifa simply, we don't, who even knows if he did it? You don't have credible testimony that he did it. That was his question. But he's learning Eidus Shi'at Yachal HaZimo is a psul, intrinsic psul, in the very Eidus itself. And therefore, he's learning there is no Eidus. But we wanted to defend Rashi by saying that Rashi holds it's an extrinsic psul. It's a psul that comes from outside. Internally, inherently, the Eidus is really fine. There's nothing really wrong with it. It's just the problem is Gzeiras HaKasuv, that Eidus Shi'at Yachal HaZimo is possible. The Torah, for whatever reason, didn't want it. Again, you could give philosophical reasons what would happen if the Torah did allow it on a system-wide basis that would create problems. But essentially, the Eidus internally is fine. And therefore, we really do have knowledge based upon the testimony of these witnesses that the Treifa did kill somebody. Nevertheless, the Torah apostles it and tells Beis Din, you're not allowed to accept it and be done and give a verdict based upon that testimony for Gzeiras HaKasuv. Okay, that's what we said yesterday. Now, the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Ayin Hayam Beis. Did you guys get a chance to look at it, or it's a very confusing Gemara there? But did anybody look, try to look at it, or? No. Okay, good. So I'm just going to sum up. I'll just tell you the case there. I mean, the case, it's a very strange, it's a funny case. The Gemara is one of those Gemaras trying to figure out what are they arguing about. And basically, the case is how the way Gemara posits it is that Rav Ika says no. The case is Kuya. So that's a question of if you're Moda Knas is Pater, but it's got to be a Hoda that's Mechayev you in something. It can't be like a Hoda that's not, if you're Moda that you were a Tavach, but you didn't Moda that you're Ganav. So by just saying that you slaughter somebody's, it could be your own animals. Who cares? It's not a good hodah. It's only hodah machayavas. Okay, I don't want to get into that. Ella be'edishyet yachalazimo kamifligi. They're arguing about edishyet yachalazimo. Okay, so what's the case? I'll just read to you outside. So two edim come and say this person stole, and he says, "Yeah, I stole. Not only did I steal, I was toveach and I was mocher, or one or the other. I was tavachti macharti." So the nidon says, "Yeah, as modeh is ganav and tavach machar." But he says, but you two guys, you first Edom who said I stole, you guys are liars. You're Edom Zoman. You didn't see me steal. I stole in front of some two other guys. Okay? And he brings in two Edom to be Mazim, the first Edom who said that he was Tavach. And he brings in Edom. Okay? And then he brings in two other Edom who he's saying, I didn't steal in front of the first two guys. Rather, I stole in front of these other guys. And he brings in these new guys, the second group of Edom, who testify that he was Tavach, who was Ganav Tavach Umaha. Okay. And the Machlokas is Eidus Shi'at Yachal HaZimo, is it Eidus or not? Okay. Now, why is this Eidus Shi'at Yachal HaZimo? Because since the Ganav himself brought in the Edom, and he's Modeh, he was Ganav Tavach HaMachar. And he's bringing in these Edim, the second group, to confirm that he was Ganav Tavach HaMachar, as opposed to the first group, who he just says, yeah, it's true what I did, but you guys weren't there. So he can't, those second group of Edim You can't, they can't become maid zomimim because the Ganav himself brought them in. And what? And he's moded that they're telling the truth. So even if they become zomimim, where it turns out they really weren't there, for whatever, a third group comes, so you're not going to make them pay to the Ganav because he's moded that they were there. So Hadaz Baldin Kameidim Dami. So there's no way that you, the second group of Edim have any risk involved because he himself is moded that they were there. So they can't become chayef to pay to him any money because they weren't there, because he's moded that they were there.
Okay. Was there just a technical point? I thought you're not allowed to be a Mashiach yourself.
You can be moda. You can be moda. You can't get like Malkus based upon on that. But you could be like moda in terms of mamonis. Like Hodas Baldin Kamei Demdami. You could be moda and mechayev yourself mamon and anything like that.
Okay.
Right. He just doesn't become a Rasha. Like he won't pass himself for Edus or get Malkus. Okay. Yeah, right. The shame Rasha is what you can't create. Okay, so they're arguing whether Edish Yatech Lazimo is Edish or not. So it's Edish Yatech Lazimo because the God of himself is Moda, the Edim are good. So now how can you be Mazim these Edim? It's going to be, they're not going to have to pay the God of money when he's Moda, they're legitimate. Okay, so Gemara says, could that really be? Right? V'akarmelin, Edish Yatech Lazimo, law of Edus. How can you say Simchus is holding it is Edus? It's not Edus. Right, that can't be the machlokas. Everybody holds, but Edish Yad Yechazim Alosh Me'edus. So Gemara says, no. Hani milihechi de lo yade be'ezi yom be'ezi shah. De leka le'edus klal. Aval hacha se yuehu de kamisayile. Okay, so that's the thing. So Hani milih, Rashi says, is on Ayahem Abbez in Bava Katma. Like 5-10 lines on the bottom. So Hani milih de lo be'edus. When does everybody agree it's not Edus? Is when basically the guy says, look, I testified this guy stole. I just don't know when it was, where it was. So he's not telling you specifics about where and when it occurred. Why is the guy testifying and saying, I Reuven stole. I just don't remember where it was. The mistifu de lo laisi side de zimninu. So that basically the reason why these Edim are saying I don't know where and when is because they're basically liars and they're afraid that they're going to become caught and they're going to have to be hived to pay. So they specifically don't give you a time and a place in order to protect themselves. So that's really Edus Sheker, essentially. Okay, we don't trust them. That everybody agrees is not considered Edus. Okay, the Machlokus is in this case, Aval Hacha, the Ha. The einata yachal hazimo, hainu mishum de kushta kamasadi. Mikolshkin de dus in edus, de siya kamasayelahu. Okay, so that's as far as we're going to read. So he's saying over here that this is the machlokes in Simchus and Rabbanim, according to this way of learning the Gemara, is that the reason why you can't be mazin is edim is because the guy himself is moda that they're telling you the truth, to the point where even if there is azama, they're not going to be chayef to pay them because he's moda. So he's saying that's the machlokes. Do you say that edus is no good? Because it's not Edish Yetiach HaZimo, and everybody agrees when there's a Hashash of Sheker, because they're specifically leaving out time and place, then I'm saying they're liars because they're trying to protect themselves. They're afraid they're going to get caught. They don't want to suffer consequences. But if you hear the guys tell you time and place, they're ready for anything. It's just the reason why you can't be Mazdan is because we know it's true. We know it's so true that even if they're caught lying, so to speak, you know, you say that the Iman HaYisem, they still wouldn't have to pay because the guy himself is Moda, it's true. That's the Machlokes. Okay, whether that's Edish Yetiach HaZimo, whether that's Kasher Apostle Edus. Okay, so Simchus is saying that is good. It's wonderful Edus, right? So what's he holding? He's holding Simchus. The problem with Edish Yetiach HaZimo is the Chashash of Sheker, right? Like Rabbi Akiva Eger was saying. The problem is intrinsically the Edus is no good and it's a Chashash of Sheker. Yeah, but in this case, this is like a good Nafkamina, okay? According to Rabbi Akiva Eger's theory, which I'm putting into Simchus. Again, it's possible there's chilukim, but it's a simple pshat, the way we learned it, is if the whole problem is a chashash of sheker, so then in this case, you wouldn't say it. Even though it is yet yachal azimo, it's not going to be possible because there's no chashash sheker whatsoever. The reason you can't be mazimid is because we know it's so true that even if you found out imonis, then you'd still believe them, and they still wouldn't have to pay. Okay, so that's kosher edus. It's wonderful. Mikolshkin is the best edus you could possibly get. But if you hold Edish Yetech HaZimo is just Xeris HaKasav, an extrinsic psul, don't tell me why. It's just the Torah says, if you have a Zama, it's no good. okay? And it's not based upon the fact that there's intrinsic sheker in the Eidus. It could be perfectly fine Eidus. But if it's yet yechel azimo, it's no good, then that's like we were saying for Rashi. Then I don't even care here why it's yet yechel azimo. The bottom line is it's Eidus yet yechel azimo. And there's no consequence to Eidim if they become liars, if they become Imanu Yisem. And since that's the case, the Eidus is possible. Okay, and that's what we're saying for Rashi. So this goof without be this would be a nafkamina between the two ways of thinking about things. Okay, if Eidus yet yechel azimo is a problem of the Eidus becomes sheker, so then here it's Eidus yet yechel azimo because you know it's true, so then it'd be perfectly good. But if you say Eidus yet yechel azimo is possible for an extrinsic reason, Gzeiras HaKasev Torah just possible it anyway, for we don't even know why, you can make a philosophical reasons, but just it's possible Gzeiras HaKasev, so then I don't care why, it's Eidus yet yechel azimo, and therefore it's possible, it's no good. Okay. So that's like a nice nafkamina. The Gemara itself brings down for these two ways of thinking about things. It's a little strange to say this Hakira Simchas Nerabanan. I don't recall. I remember the Gemara being very confusing. Just how to work out that Simchas case. I'm trying to think. I'm not sure this is Gemara's ultimate conclusion. It's like one position. It's a little strange always to take a machlokes in the Gemara, Simchas Nerabanan, according to one we learned in the Gemara, and put into Rakiv Eger and Rashi. But you know, I don't know, maybe Rakiv Eger learned the Gemara differently. You know, if he learned, you know, it could be this is how Rashi learns. It could be Rakiv Eger learned the Gemara a little bit differently based on how they're showing him, but I think it's good. And, you know, Rashi, our Gemara is basically going with the Rabbanan's position. That's just Gzeiras HaKasev. And that's how certainly Rashi learns this Gemara. So it's good. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Look, it's great. Our job is to defend Rashi. You know, Rakiv Eger, he can take care of himself, you know? So we worked out. I think it's good that this is this, you know, again, it would be funny if Rakiv Eger is going like Simchas against the Rabbanan. So, but I'm not trying to work out everything here. The point is this concept, this Hakira. So I just remember I had some, that idea. I remember it was somewhere on the, like on this daf. But it's very, pretty much the concept we were saying. Is why is Eidus yechel azimo good? Is it because it's sheker? Then it's only when they leave at the time and the date, but not when you know it's true. But if it's Gzeiras HaKasev, then it doesn't make a difference if why it's possible. You know, what the reason why it's yet yechel azimo, either way it's possible. By the treifa sheharag, obviously it's going to be Eidus yechel azimo and possible no matter what. Just the nafkamina for our Gemara on daf pei dalid, would be whether the Gemara can bring that as a raya, that sometimes you know a guy did something, but he's still potter anyway. Either way, this is going to be potter. You're not going to kill the treifa. The nafkamina there is more in terms of, you know, is it a good argument for just because you don't kill somebody, you know, potter them, that there's no lacking in mishpat echad. Okay. So Dov brought in a rough piece in the Rishimos from Rav Reichman on Arashi. He says something similar, he just has it a little better. Okay, it's really sharp. So he wants to say, and based upon that Gemara 9 Hamma base, okay, that again, that there's two types of Eidus yet yechel azimo. One is where it's really chashash sheker intrinsically. And that's when they can't get the time and the place correct. Either they contradict or they say they don't know or whatever it is. And if you don't have, when they're leaving at the time and the place, then intrinsically the Eidus crumbles. Rashi, Rakiv Eger, Simchas, Rabbanan, everybody holds. It's just not Eidus whatsoever. Okay? And in all cases. That's just basically, it's lacking the shame Eidus entirely. But he's saying by the Treifa case, so really there's no Chashash Sheker. It's just you can't if the Eidim became Zelamin, you wouldn't be able to kill them because they just tried to kill a Treifa. Okay? So it's Eidus yet yechel azimo because of some external reason, not because their Eidus intrinsically was corrupt, but because of an external reason of they just tried to kill a Treifa. So he's saying in that case, really, it's good Eidus. And in Dine Mominus, if you had that kind of a case, you would be chayev to pay. It is good Eidus. I guess like probably like the Rabbanan. Must be what he's saying, like they're abundant in that case by Simchas. I didn't see it inside. But saying in Dina Mamanus, it is good Eidus, and you could mechayev a person based on that in Dina Mamanus. But in Dina Fashas, and he said this is based on the Rambam and based Tess and Rotzeach, he's saying in Dina Fashas, because if it's Silo Eida, you're not going to kill the Treifa based upon their testimony. Because even though their testimony is really good testimony, and in theory you should kill the treifa, the rotzeach treifa, the murderer who is a treifa, you would kill him based on their testimony because it really is good testimony. It's just since technically you couldn't punish them if they became zomim, so it's a lackey in edus. It's edus yatir chazimo for an external reason. And therefore, even though it's good edus, essentially there's a gzeres akasav to posel it only in dine nefashos. Okay, so it's the same move we were making. There's an extrinsic psul. He's just identifying that extrinsic psul as a din of hatzilo aida. That in dine nefashos, where we save the nidan, we save the treifa who's a rotzeach, and we save his life, and we don't operate based upon the edus. It really is good edus. But the Torah says, don't be dan din nefashos based upon an edus, which is iat yachal azimo for extrinsic reasons. But din imamunus, you would be dan because it's exerce kasav. It's not a psul like krovim, like we said, like an extrinsic psul of krovim, which is not good at all. It's just not good in din nefashos. Right? And he says, therefore, nafkami would be that the goal adam could kill the treifa. Because really it is good edus, and you know the treifa is rotzeach. It's just based in vitzilo eda. There's a din of vitzilo eda by the Sanhedrin, by the Beis Din of Chof Gimel, that they can't kill the treifa based upon this type of edus. But the Gol Adam has no halacha. Right? Gol Adam is, he's allowed to kill the rotzeach. It's the Beis Din is vitzilo eda. They're saving him from the Gol Adam, right? So Gol Adam is allowed to go kill him. But if it was the lacking the drisha hakira of when and where it happened, then the edus intrinsically is no good. Then it'd be like Rabbi Kivayer says, there's just simply no edus whatsoever. And then the Gol Adam can't just go kill that guy who says the guy's a rotzeach. But over here, we know the edus is good. And really, the mamas would be done based upon it. Just vitzilo edus, for Xeris Akasa, Beis Din shouldn't kill people based upon that kind of a testimony. Because those edim, in theory, have no skin in the game. And therefore, vitzilo edus. So the nafkamina would be the Gol Adam. Right? That would be the Rav's nafkamina. Essentially, it's the same move we're making. He's just identifying where that extrinsic psul is coming from. We were learning, you know, that he's learning it's coming from vitzilo eda. We were just saying that's exerce kasav of whatchamacallit, edus yetiachal zimo. He's doing much better. He's showing that edus yetiachal zimo, everybody agrees it's like Rabbi Kivayer Eger was saying. But that's only when it's the time and the place is screwed up. He's just saying this other type of treifa shaharag, edus yetiachal zimo, that's Xeris Akasav of Itzilo Eda. All right, so he's like really showing you there's two Xeris Akasavs. It's a much more sophisticated way of learning the whole thing. You know, the basic Hagira is what we said to answer the problem Rashi's asking from Ricky Vager is correct. It's the same approach, the same concept of realizing there's two reasons that this is no good, either because internally it collapses because of Sheker, or there's an extrinsic psul. But what he's doing, he's really putting it together with the Gemara and Ayin Hay, and he's also working out with the Rambam, and it's a much nicer, more beautiful piece of Torah. Do you understand? But the definition is the same, and it solves the problem the same way. You know, we weren't trying to work out Shas essentially, and he is, you know, it's better, it's beautiful, but that's basically what he's saying. Okay, so now we're going back to further in the Gemara of how you learn that ayin tachas ayin is not mamash but it's money. Okay, so we're going to do the next two shitas. We're going to basically treat them together. Maybe there's subtle differences, maybe not. But essentially, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Shmuel learns because it says lashon nesino, right? Kashitin mum ba'adam ken yinasein bo. So it's ken yinasein bo. It's so you should give in him. He's dorishit. We end up showing it's because it's an extra pasuk. It means nesina, something that you give over, which is money. It's using lashon of nesina, and the ratio of the pasuk margin shows because it's extra. He has the right to be dorishit. That's it's something like nesina, like money that you give over. Okay, and therefore it's using that language. And Reb Chia has a case a different pasuk, almost exactly the same structure of an extra pasuk of ba'idim zomim, because it says asisin lo kasha zomim lasos le'achiv. And then it says, yad b'yad, regel b'regel, right? Things like that. So it's yad b'yad, it's davar hanitain miyad liyad, something that you give that from one hand to the other. And what transfers from one hand to the other? Money. Okay, so it's the basic, same basic structure, same basic concept of the Torah uses an extra pasuk, an extra phrase. Either it's using the lashon of Nesina or Yad B'Yad, but it amounts to the same thing: is that it's showing you don't just create a mum in the chovel, but rather his onesh is he has to give something from his hand to the hand of the nechbal. Okay, and it's a ma'isa Nesina miyad liyad. Okay, I don't think there's necessarily a difference between the two. It's basically an extra pasuk which is showing you the framework of the onesh is not maiming the chovel, not giving him a mum, but it's a transfer of money from hand to hand, from the chovel to the nechbal. Okay, and just in terms of methodology, okay, is part of like learning shas is big, and you have to know what to spend time on, what not to spend time on. So I think over here, going through figuring out the extra pasuk that you can work out all the details. I'm sure there's wonderful chachma everywhere, but you know you want to be able to. You're not going to finish all shas. You know, maybe you will, but you might not be able to finish all shas in your lifetime. So you know, the more you dwell on certain problems, the less you're going to see of other problems. Okay, so we're going to try to move through this point a little bit. We'll just try to give one idea. So is there anything we can say of why the Torah is teaching you this idea? That you're shifting from mamish, from ayin tachas ayin mamish, to the idea of mamon of tashlumin, by this idea of yad biyad and nesina. It's davar nitein miyad liyad. Was there any idea we can give? You know, and then we'll move on. Just a basic idea. I just wanted to say is that it's true. It's true. It's showing you that it's compensation, but perhaps an idea is that there's two types of onshim. There's an onesh where it's just like, I'm going to say it this way. There's a zero-sum onesh, and then there's a net loss onesh. Okay? So if you were just to destroy his eye, then basically it's just, you know, now we have two people in society who don't have an eye. Do you understand? Like, it's just like it is an onesh, and it is mishpat, but it's a kind of mishpat that's really destructive. Right, like we said, similarly with if you destroy somebody's behemoth, we're going to destroy your behemoth. It's just destructive. You know, society now lost two animals. The overall wealth of society has decreased. But there's an idea of like a zero-sum onesh, where it's true that the chovel loses money, but the nechbal gains the money. So when it's davar anitim yad liyad, where it's a transfer of wealth, so it is a kind of an onesh. It's a type of compensation. It's true that, you know, I mean, it's not necessarily the ideal mishpat. But by doing mishpat in this manner, it's true it's a substitute, but overall, we're not destroying wealth or human organs in society. It's not a destructive type of nonesh. It's shifting wealth from one pocket to another pocket. You know, it's going from the chovel's money is going transferring to the nechbal's money. So it's the kind, it's a type of a mishpat, albeit a substitute in a certain sense. But the reason why Torah substituted it is because it's a less destructive, it's a zero-sum onesh, where you're not, it's not a negative onesh, where ultimately you're just destroying money or a people's organs or things like that, you know, an eye or a hand or whatever it is. So it's a type of onesh that can lead to a kiyum in society. By kiyum, I mean like a kiyum, but like society continuing to exist, you know, but like a certain, like nefesh p'tachas nefesh, right? I mean, basically, instead of one guy being dead, two people are dead. I think there's a Rashi in the Torah where it says losachos. You're not allowed to make the argument by Ritzicha that what do I gain from two Jews being dead now? So don't kill, have mercy, no death penalty. Have mercy on the Rotzeach, because what are you going to gain now? Just two people are going to be dead. So, and that there's an Isser to make that argument. At least Tarshish Machzav, there's an Isser. I don't know if technically it's an Isser, but Rashi, I forgot where in the Torah, but it says you're not allowed to do that. You can't make that argument. Don't say that. Don't get rid of the death penalty because saying, well, one Jew is dead, what do I need another Jew to be dead? Right? So, but that's by Ritzicha, you don't make that argument. Nefesh, tachas, nefesh. Torah demands pure mishpat. But over here, by Chovel, what do you need two people who are blind for? It's bad enough one person's blind. So instead, institute a form of mishpat, of compensation, of money, where the money is just transferring from one guy to the other, but it's not lost to society. Okay, so that's why the Torah shifted to, it's a type of mishpat that can lead to sustain society and not like a destructive, not destroying the overall wealth or, you know, human functioning of the society. It's just wealth is being transferred from one party to another. Meaning, again, mishpat's one side of the equation. Do you understand? If the world were to run purely on mishpat is wonderful and you need mishpat for the world, But the world cannot function if you exercise pure mishpat in all cases, because it's destructive. You see that in this case. So the Torah mixes in an element of rachamim because the combination of the two allows the world to continue to exist. Okay, it's a that's the whole system of the Torah is this combination of mishpat and rachamim. Okay, and just by in Ritzicha, we demand pure mishpat, but by the chovel we don't. We mix in a little bit, have a little rachamim on the guy, allow him to pay kofar, that kind of idea. Because overall, it's just a better way. It's a better type of a system. It doesn't destroy society. It doesn't destroy people. Okay, but sometimes pure mishpat really is destructive in a certain sense. You need it in certain cases, pure mishpat, but in general, you want to have some mishpat and have it attenuated with, you know, elements of compassion. Okay, so Abaye tries another pshat. Okay, another argument, right? Misvar, basically. Abaye is trying misvar. He's saying that it can't be mamish because it's ayin tachas ayin. But if you try to do that literally, so plenty of times, you know, it's not a simple operation, especially in those days. You knock out a guy's eye, you might kill him. And that's not going to be just. He deserves to lose his eye. He doesn't deserve to lose his life. Okay, so, you know, it's a risky operation. And it's not, it's like, you know, it's fortunate for him that the other guy didn't even die. The other guy just lost his eye, but he could have. There's like risk involved. That's basically the argument Abai is making, is that when you knock out a guy's eye, there is a risk associated with that you might die from the knocking out the eye. Now, it's true that that risk wasn't realized because the Nechbal didn't die. But if you try to play that game with the Chovel and you try to knock out his eye, the risk might go the other way. It might be he'll die. And that's not fair because the other guy didn't die. Okay. And then the Gemara is saying, that's not a good argument of Abaye, because let's evaluate it. If really we evaluate that there's a legitimate risk that he's going to die, then we won't do it. Then it'll be Iyafshar. That'll be like the case before by the blind guy. It's Iyafshar. We simply can't do Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish because it's impossible, because he might kill him. But if we evaluate that he's not going to die, even if he does die, look, that stuff happens in life. You got to go, you have to live your life based upon your best rational estimate, based upon your knowledge of what's going to happen, and you take appropriate risks. And if sometimes a one in a million happens, but that's nothing you can do about that, that happens in life, and you get on with it. The guy dies, he dies. Okay. It's happened before, it'll happen again. You can't have a system of mishpat, which is worried about one in a million, right? So therefore, the same thing by Malchus, we omit him that he's going to take 39 Malchus, he's not going to die. Then you give him the full 39, he dies. Look, it's made about, you know, so assuming it was a good omade, this stuff happens in life. It's like, it's minashamayim. It's not our fault. So same thing here. We'll do ayin tachas ayin when we estimate that he's not going to actually die. And when we estimate he will die, we won't do it at all. Beautiful. What's the problem by how, what's it, right? So we'd like to understand exactly, it sounds like a good argument that Gemara is making. Now, when it's Iyafshar because he's going to die, we won't do it. And when we estimate that he's not going to die, then we'll do it. And it's perfect. It's just like Malchus. You don't always give the full 39. It's only when you estimate he can do it. So why? What was Abaye's argument? Abaye knows about Omeid. Why does Abaye not want to rely on Omeid in this case? There you go. So Josh wants to say, I think this is a good approach, excellent approach, is that it's true we rely on Omid. Abaye knows that. But because of the fact that when you knock out a guy's eye, I mean, it's a really risky operation, like Joe was saying, really risky operation. So how often are you really going to be able to be Omid and be certain or fairly certain that you're not going to kill the guy? So, you know, in times before modern medicine, it's, you know, infection, it's just like almost never. You know, maybe one in one, I don't know. Let's just say it's one in 100. You can be able to say, we can definitely take out this guy's eye and he's not going to die. But then it's going to come out that 99% of the time, there's no onesh. You can come out no onesh, you know. But if you did a monetary system, then 100% of the time there's an onesh, you know. And now it's not ideal justice, but it's again, like that point of Abaye saying it's not mistaver. It's a good argument Abaye is making that it's not mistaver. The Torah is going to want you to do mamish. Because 99% of the time, you're not going to be able to really do it. And the guy's going to walk out free. What kind of crazy system of mishpat is that? You know? Now, by Malchus, You just do Malchus is quantitative. So even if, I don't know, maybe most people can handle 39, but even if you say that 99% of people can't handle 39, so you give them, you give them 12, you give them 18, right? So it's quantitative. You're able to reduce it. So that's a perfectly fine. In general, person gets punished and he gets beaten near death. And that's everybody gets that quality. You get beaten to the point where you're near death, but there's no real chance that you're going to die. Okay, is it possible we can get it wrong? Yes, but we don't worry about that. Abai agrees we don't worry about that. But I mean, you're not undermining Malchus. You're just reducing Malchus. It's quantitative and allows for reduction. But Ayin Dechazayin Mamish, if you demanded that, it's going to come out. There's no, it's not quantity. You can't take out half the eye, which is safe. Either you do it or you don't. And it's going to come out 99% of the time. You're not going to do it because of the chashash, he's going to die. So he's saying, we'll get that. Think about it. The Torah has to choose between doing Ayin Dechazayin Mamish one in 100 times and the other 99 times the guy gets off free. Versus just doing mamonis across the board, what do you think it's going to do? So that's his argument, that's Abai's argument. I think Mar says that's a nice argument, Abai, but on the other hand, you can't prove it because, again, there is value to having absolute mishpat. There is value to that. The Torah and the Torah Shebichsav is saying, ayin tachas ayin mamish, and you cannot, and it's true, more often than not, you might not have any onish whatsoever, but nevertheless, it could be the Torah prefers to have pure mishpat when you can do it, even though in the majority of cases, the guy will get off entirely, as opposed to always being able to punish the guy, but never having pure mishpat. Similar point we brought in before. I forgot in which case it was. Maybe it was the Rosh Hashanah Bar Yochai case. No, I forgot where. Maybe more. No, it was the first one with the defective eye, defective person, that whole thing, right?
Yes, by the Simba, right?
By the what?
The Summa.
The Summa case. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, good. The Summa case by, okay, fine. With the Summa case, you're not going to be able to do it. Exactly. Oh, you're right. There's a Summa case. Exactly. So similar type of point is that Abai is making a compelling argument. And if you just asked me, Misvara, what do I think? If I have a choice between these two systems, what would I say? I'd say Abai is correct. Then you're going to go with Mammon. And that's like part of the point of doing these Gemaras. You see like the motivation. Is why is the Torah shifting from Ayin Tachasai Mamish from like real Mishpat, even though there would be an advantage to real Mishpat and it's ideal? Well, practically, you're not 99% of the time, you're not going to be able to implement real Mishpat. And because of Mishpat Echad and the Torah's refusal to introduce an injustice into the system by having variability and justice, then you can end up saying 99% of the time, the guy gets off entirely, right? And that's what forces the Torah, to shift to the framework of Mammon. Right, the Mishpat Echad, not wanting to make a hybrid system, sometimes having Mammon. So you can't compensate for the fact that when you don't employ Mammon, you can do Mammon. That's not an option on the table ever. And the fact that Omid's not going to really help you here. It'll help you insofar as, you know, we can rely on it when it's accurate, but it's not going to help you insofar as most of the time you're not going to be able to do it. And that's just, and it's just not a great system to have pure Mishpat 1% of the time and nothing the rest of the time. It's true when it's e-afshar, it's not a violation of Mishpat Echad, but still, it's just compare that to the system that actually goes with Torah Shel Peh of Mammon across the board. Okay. Now, the Gemara is correct. You can't prove it because there is a value to pure Mishpat and there is an impact on people that they know that in 1% of the time you're going to lose your eye and that sends a message to society and there's a value of seeking pure Mishpat and so, and the Torah Shebichsav says, ayin tachas ayin mamish. So Abai's argument is not sufficient to convince the Gemara 100%, but it does, it's a good argument. It convinces, it's a compelling argument in terms of, for me, for us, I think it's a good argument of why the Torah is shifting away. You know, even better than Rav Shimon bar Yochai's in a certain sense. Rav Shimon bar Yochai was saying, if a guy is blind and he blinds somebody else, okay, but how often does that happen? Abai is showing you that same type of argument, but he's expanding it to show you the majority of cases you're not going to be able to implement Ayin Tachasai Mamish because of this problem. Okay, look, modern medicine probably a lot easier, but certainly, you know, in certain societies, you can end up having basically no mishpat. Okay, so it's like it's showing you the reason why Torah Shebichsav, even though Torah Shebichsav wants mishpat, pure mishpat of Ayin Tachasai Mamish, it's forced to go to the framework of Mammon because of this problem of you can't take away, you can't kill a person for just knocking out somebody's eye, and Mishpat Echad prevents a hybrid system. So therefore, the Torah is forced to shift to Mammonus. So it really brings out why the Torah did it. You know, that's part of the advantage of going through this stuff.